again, just to repeat this for the, and I think repetition is good, that we are being called to build a bridge in consciousness that will link one age and the next. And you remember that Jesus said, if they say that, look, here's the Christ, or there's the Christ, don't believe them. And even we will see the world go through some cataclysmic things. But really what that is all talking about is internal changes and shakings in your own being. Earthquakes in diverse places. Structures will fall. The way that we think, our idea of things will fall. And there is a company that is being called not to participate in the status quo, way things go in the earth, with our politics and our religions and our world governments. You know, you heard me say, does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? Yes, 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 it does. Do our political figures hold certain viewpoints that reflect differences in our consciousness? Yes, yes, yes. But if you rise above the earth and have a different perspective, then there is not even any east or west. So in this age to come, when we discern our position, we're going to be moving in a way that consciousness has not moved before on the planet. And the cessation of judgment is essential, because judgment keeps you anchored in third dimensional reality. And if your path keeps you rooted and grounded in third dimensional reality because you feel joyful there, then that's where you need to be. There's nothing wrong with that. But if your path, and you begin to step in these places that are different, a different mode of operation, a different way of thinking, if it brings you to that place and you feel joy, then walk in it. There will be a voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. And you will feel joyful in that position. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted, sometimes the spirit, and I think you probably can mirror the words that I say, speaks to us in some unusual ways.
Yes.
And I know that Louisiana, this is the first time that I've spoken in Louisiana.
Wow.
And I've spoken in the all over Texas and several places in Tennessee and Mississippi and Arkansas and Georgia. I think that's it.
Missouri.
But I was moved to take that picture when we were driving in on whatever that highway is that comes down from Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a shelf of light. But then there was this huge massing of these dark clouds. And I love to take pictures of storm clouds because they just move me. Because of the symbolism of things brewing in the heavens. That's in your consciousness. In the consciousness over this area. Especially those that have been, and I keep on hearing the song, Born in the Bayou by, is it Canned Heat or The Grassroots, Born in the Bayou. Because there's a consciousness here. And I heard this morning that things have been spoken this weekend that have never before been heard in the atmosphere in this area. And so when someone said to me, and I didn't even see it, I just saw that orb would look like a stream coming down from it. I didn't see the face with the open mouth until someone on Facebook said, I see it, I see the face with the open mouth. And I was like, what face with the open mouth? And I looked and I thought, my gosh, here's this huge face with this mouth wide open. Mm-hmm. And so I recalled a time going to Rome, and there is a church in Rome, very old church. And it has, have you seen it?
Yeah.
It has a huge circular sculpture, and it's called the Mouth of Truth.
Okay.
And you remember it?
Yes.
And they say that if you're a liar and you put your hand in there, it'll bite your fingers off.
That's what we're thinking.
Yeah, that's just the...
So, that picture there.
I think the Mouth of Truth in consciousness has been opened.
Yes, yes.
And I think that the rain that came and flooded the area, I just think that is such a sign of heaven touching earth. And it's not
I'm only an activator. That's all I am. I mean, my husband knows me. I've got my junk. He keeps me humble. But I'm nothing. All I am is a little piece of peroxide in the dye that activates. You know, that's all I am. Everything that is, mm-hmm. is in you. Mm-hmm. Everything that is in you.
But it also had a heart.
And there was, yes, there's a heart there, you know, in the picture too. So, I think it's a very special area. Louisiana, southern Louisiana. And I think that this has been a time of seeding, of heaven touching earth, of the consciousness being stirred. Right? That's what storms represent, is the consciousness being stirred and the release of rain from heaven. You know, that's sustenance and preparation for the ground. And we were saturated. The 48 hours prior to coming together. So I just wanted to say that I thought it was interesting. And another thing that Diane said is that she heard, her and Ray heard that this would be a house of truth. And that's when I saw the mouth of truth. So there are places that have been set aside for dispersal against the truth. So I really want to make clear that you have to discern your place. Because if we get into, feeling like we have to be like somebody else, starts with an E.
Equality?
No.
Emulate.
If we feel we have to emulate somebody else and copy somebody else, that doesn't feel good. You have to follow.
What is it?
And then I drop something. You have to follow what feels good inside. So, all right, so let's start again. I'm going to revisit a little bit from last night. I want to talk about the tone that we feel in our ears. How many people have a tone in their ear?
I do.
Okay. In 2006, are you okay?
Yeah.
In 2006, I was meditating, and I made a sound that was supposed to open the pineal gland, which is, this is the let thine eye be single. There's a gland that helps us with our intuitive faculties. And because of fluoridation in our water, it's scientifically shown that it produces fluoride crystals and covers this gland so that it atrophies and is not used. So you talk about, you know, divine plans to try and keep this nature from rising up within. I mean, this is all, I mean, I don't want to get into a lot of conspiracy theories and things, but that's what fluoridation does in our water. So I don't drink
tap water.
I usually drink bottled water. But so there's a gland right here that can be stimulated by doing a toning exercise. And this toning exercise kind of pushes air, and your vocal cords push air up to the roof of your mouth, and it's supposed to stimulate this gland. Well, I thought, all right, what the heck? I'll try anything once. So I'm in the bathtub where I know I'm closed in, and it has an echo chamber, and so I'm doing this toning exercise. It's very loud. It's very loud. And all of a sudden, I when I was done with the exercise, something went in my hearing, and it's never gone. It's always there, 24/7 since 2006. I even went to an audiologist about it.
Yeah, me too. Mine's has been there since 1996.
Yeah. Well, we probably remember as children. Remember when you smack your head real hard and you hear that tone? You ever remember that? Or sometimes you have that white noise sound that's a real high pitch. I've had that my whole life. I've had a solid tone my whole life. But then in 2006, something else came, and it was actually two tones that oscillate back and forth. And I was really disturbed by that to begin with. But then the more that I read, you know, when we receive visitation from these messengers, they carry a different frequency. And they can come. Remember, it says that the tree grows large in the garden so that the messengers, the birds of heaven, come and nest in its branches. Well, we have the ability to receive angelic messages or beings or energy, and they lodge in our aura. And so if you're hearing those tones, and they're louder at some times, and you know, if you're thinking or contemplating and you receiving revelation or a new thought, if you pay attention, you're probably having a variation in that tone in your ear. So I just wanted to explain that. Last night, Linda had a lot of popping in her ears. Very symptomatic of things being balanced in your inner ear pathways, balance coming and energy being released. So it's just so you know that's, I wanted to mention that today about hearing from other dimensions. Does that help?
Yes. So it's just not ringing in the ears?
Sometimes it is. I have had, like I said, I've had ringing in my ears since I was a little girl. This is something different. It's an oscillating tone. They go, ooh, ooh,
ooh. Everybody sounds different, though.
Yeah. And everybody's sound will be different. Sometimes it is, they call it tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Or tinnitus, yeah. Depending upon what doctor you talk to. But you know, that's what doctors do. I mean, we're spiritual beings, we're energy beings, and doctors don't necessarily recognize energy.
Can I share along that line? I went to the doctor.
Don't lose your thought.
Okay. I went to the doctor in 1996 because of that, and they ran all kind of tests, all the hearing kind of tests. They put me in a parachute and for balancing, and I mean, you name it. They put the water in the ear and all of this stuff. And the only conclusion that the doctor could come up with was that I had a high pitched sound, and that he didn't know where it was coming from, and his remedy was for me to go. He could go in my eardrum and shoot some hydrocortisone to kind of numb it, the sound, to bring it down. But he couldn't guarantee that it was gonna work, you know. But he could try that, and I told him no. I said just leave it, you know. And so, you know, so the doctors, like you said, they don't know. You know, they ran all kind of tests, and then that's when I found out.
And it's
that
only going to
get spiritual. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. I was told it was a spiritual thing because I was trying to do all kind of things to try to get rid of it.
And I hope that encourages you in what we talked about last night, because there are, you know, when you're experiencing some odd things, and you probably need to talk to Lyle about the bumps, because they're just odd. Things are just odd.
This is a little bit from the ear, but what about, the doctors call them floaters in the eye.
Oh, you have that too.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen them too and have them. So, they're...
I didn't answer the doctor. I figured they couldn't like my ear into my eyes.
No, really.
Yeah.
It's permanent. Yeah, more at some time.
But I wanted to give you all the heads up, because a lot of times, and Laura can probably speak to this, activation happens. Do you mind if I say?
Yeah.
You want to say?
No, go ahead.
But when I talked about the burping and the release, and I said there's probably, you know, several in the room that will experience this, Laura started last night. And it's this pressure that comes up from down here, and you just continually release air. And you'll find that as you come into contact with people that need help, And I don't want to say that it's always outside of you. We're all one, and we share the same consciousness stream. But when you come into close proximity to somebody, or even if you're thinking about somebody that needs help, you'll begin to release energy for them. And it's just part of the process. We're energy beings. We are here. We're different. I want to talk to you a little bit about something I didn't talk to you about at all. Is anyone familiar with Dolores Cannon? Dolores Cannon is in her 80s, and she has devoted, I think, 50 or 60 years to counseling. And she is a psychotherapist, and she does hypnotism and brings people back into former lives. And the way that she started doing this is it just started happening, as does with most gifts of healing. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't necessarily believe, I don't think, in past life regression, but it started happening with her, and people would be telling her about their past lives experience. And so she was working and working and working with these people and logging a lot of hours and a lot of case studies and examples and finding it absolutely fascinating.
And then 30 years ago, and I may get the dates kind of wrong here because it's been a while since I listened, but about 30 years ago, she was regressing a man. And she was bringing him down through this technique of hypnosis to taking him to his the past life that needed the most healing. And he said he didn't have any past lives. And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm with the source of all." And she said, "What do you mean you're with the source of all?" "I'm with the source of all. I've had no other journeys to Earth." And she says, "Well, okay, well," but this young man had been feeling a lot of discordant energy, not happy with who he was or why he was here, never finding his station in life, very artistically inclined, very gentle in spirit, but very depressed. And so a lot of times what that indicates is past life trauma or victimization that the person that is struggling needs to work through. So here she regresses him, and he goes back, but he doesn't go filter through any lives. And so this was new to her, and she said, "What do you mean? You have no past lives?" And he said, "No, I've come straight from the Creator. I come straight from that form." And she said, "Well, okay, then why are you here?" And he said these words, "I heard the call." "So you heard the call?" And he said, "Yes, Earth was in trouble. And I heard the call." And so she cataloged everything that he said. And this is what he said. He said that he was born 49. What was the year the bomb was dropped? Was that 48?
41.
41? Okay, well then maybe he was, it was just like the following year after the bomb was dropped. And he said that Earth had received technology that was blasted onto the planet. Remember when I said we're given technology or gifts?
Mm-hmm.
And that we were not using it for the right purpose. But that the Earth has a vibrational shield around it that cannot be penetrated or should not be penetrated by those that know how to penetrate it. So the beings, the interdimensional beings, are bound not to interfere with Earth's progress. Because we are the ones, remember when we try to help somebody, what happens to them? We try and help them out of a bind with a bad credit card debt, what happens? They go right back into bad credit card debt. So that's human nature. We have to figure these things out internally. So the beings that know better, that have been through the Earth School, are bound not to interfere, okay? With the exception being the Christed ones that come as a human being to show a pattern. But you can't come down as a god anymore. I mean, that's what happened with Zeus and Apollo and all of those, but there came a time when there was a boundary around the Earth where the gods, the higher beings, could not penetrate. Could not come in. So the gift of atomic energy had been given to the Earth, but it was being misused. And what this man said was that a plan had to be devised for these beings to incarnate. They carry a higher dimensional value, a higher vibration within their being, but they don't fit in. And he said they came in the year following the atomic bomb, and they came by the millions. They came that they had never planned on becoming human, but they came straight from that creative energy without any past lives, and they are born into the Earth realm, and they don't fit. Many, many, many people committed suicide because they had such discordant energy, they didn't know where they fit in the world. They didn't want to participate in duality. They didn't want to participate in drama. They wanted to love and be peaceful and joyful. And all they felt was this incredible discordant energy, so many of them opted out. Here's this man that finds his way to a person that can help, and now he's spilling his guts saying, "We're here by the millions." But there's an incredible gap between their vibrations
and ours.
Oh.
But being among us, they said that just being among us, they can help raise the energy of the planet and bring us out of its destructive path. Because they can see the end from the beginning.
Yes.
Because they're not in time. They can see the end from the beginning. And had there not been an intervention, that we most likely would have killed ourselves by atomic energy. And so they came not as someone that said, hey, listen to me, this isn't the way. They came in as innocent sheep, innocent lambs that carried within their framework a higher vibrational value. And many of those first waivers committed suicide. Now, this is where it gets good. So she is continuing with this information and finding it interesting. Now she's over in Australia and she's regressing a woman. And she's bringing her back down through her the steps that she takes to get to their core and then build up from, you know, whatever past life she might have had. And she says, I have no past lives. I've come straight from Source. And Dolores Cannon goes, what? I've come straight from Source. What do you mean? I'm part of the second wave. I've come straight from Source. The Earth was in trouble, and I heard the call.
Oh.
And I agreed. No. Anyway, nobody else had that information. She didn't publish it, she didn't tell anybody about it, and here the woman is telling the exact same thing, that the Earth was in trouble, and a plan had been devised that we will become as they are. And we will, like, remember when I said the ship that needs to be righted, and those balloons of air are inflated and the ship can rise to the surface? We knew what it would take to bring consciousness to a buoyant level once again. But in the natural, when this woman isn't regressed, she's depressed. She's also an artist. She hears voices. She is so discordant with the energy here. And these poor suffering souls are here, but they're here not remembering why they're here, but they've come to help and aid and assist the planet. Now, she would regress thousands of people, you know, over the years. And every now and then, she'd come up with another one. I have no past lives, I've come straight from Source. And they say the same thing. Earth was in trouble. We needed to devise a plan to come and to help ransom the planet out of such negative, volatile, destructive consciousness. We needed to ransom them.
Where exactly did they come from?
And Source, energy, love. See, when we, you know, I'll finish with my story and then I'll go on with that. I talked a little bit about that. There was this huge bang in consciousness where we floated in individual particles and gathered matter around us, and consciousness came in that way. But they came straight from Source, and they have not been on the planet for millennia after millennia after millennia after millennia. Going through lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, gathering karma and negative energy from the past. See, we have incredible third dimensional energy. We are immersed, baptized. The seed is sown into the dark soil. And we've been here. This is our mode of operation. We're used to being human. But this was a plan by divinity to come in and to be able to right the ship in consciousness to kind of pull us upward a little bit. To help us not be so focused on fear and fight or flight or drama or trauma. So anyway, now she's regressing more and more people, and she has hundreds of examples now of people that have come straight from Source, and they all say the same thing. I heard the call. Oh. And I knew I needed to come. And their emergence into 3D, when they are in the upper levels of the ethers, is very low and dense. And they look at us and they think they're killing each other. This beautiful creation is dropping bombs on one another. We need to devise a plan, and they need rescue. And these people that are these volunteers, they call themselves the volunteers. Guess what the main symptom they have?
Depression.
Heart palpitations. Heart palpitations, because energetically they are not a vibrational match for this dimensional level. The electronics in their body is out of whack a little bit.
Is that the light markers?
Some people call, you know, there's all sorts of different energies from all over the multiverse that have come to help. But the thing is, when they come in, they forget who they are.
Yeah.
And so Dolores Cannon has been able to bring them to that place, that core position in their consciousness, and they're able to tell, you know, who they are and why they're here.
Can I ask a question? Like sometimes, I want to say the Holy Spirit, could it be somebody else? Because like when you're saying something and it's like, I said that, you know, like, where is that coming from?
That's your higher self.
That's
your true identity.
Okay.
In the spirit. Okay. So now, most recently, the first waivers came in within a year, 1 to 5 years after the bomb. The second waivers came in approximately 30 years later, and the third waivers are now here. And you know what the third waivers are saying when they're brought back? They're still discordant. They're still depressed. They're still, you know, experiencing that vibrational discord because the energy in their body is not compatible with what's here, so they still have their same problems. But under regression, they're saying, we've heard the call, and we have been successful.
We have not.
We have been successful.
Oh, have been.
Have been successful. We are here by the millions and millions and millions, mm-hmm. and the consciousness of the planet is poised for ascension and resurrection.
Oh, yes.
And if you look at the consciousness in the planet, I don't think we would ever drop a bomb again. I don't think that would happen. Mm-hmm. You know? Go ahead.
Khrushchev said one time the Americans would not be destroyed by a bomb, that they would self-destruct themselves. Because when they watch everything that's going on and see what's happening in this country, it's depressing.
Didn't that happen with the sinking of Atlantis and Lemuria, that was they destroyed themselves with atomic power and stuff?
Well, probably. You know, that's a whole other facet to the view. You know, what happened in past civilizations. But I guess the point that I want to make by sharing the story with you is that some of you in here are most likely volunteers. And you've come not from, you know, other lifetimes, but straight from source.
Yeah.
And you don't know who you are. And, you know, that's why it says, may always be kind to those you meet along the way, because many have entertained angels unaware. Mm-hmm. Are we unaware that they're angels? Or are they unaware that they're angels?
They unaware.
And I say it's both.
It's both, yeah.
So, if nothing else, you need to be challenged to find your place. If nothing else, you need to be challenged to find your place. And you find your place by feeling joy. You must discern what you are here to do and do that. Do that because you're fitting in with the grand plan, the grand scheme of things. If anyone is interested, Dolores Cannon has several books, and she is OzarkMT.com. That's her website, OzarkMT.com. And she's got when she was on George Norrie's show, Coast to Coast, she told about these waves of volunteers and talks about a lot of other physical symptoms that they have experienced. But they're here, like the Christ energy that came back in the day. In the Christ energy, David Hulse teaches that it had to penetrate the planet. It had to come to a place where it was able to penetrate that vibrational field around the planet. And David Hulse talks about the Middle East being the perfect place at that time frame to be able to penetrate, much like a sperm penetrates an egg. As above, so below. So, I just encouraging you today, find your place. This is a great plan, a great operation that we're a part of, a grand experiment of all that is. All that is has desired experience in physical form. You heard me say that if Spirit were to walk in this room right now and just wanted to pick up that bottle and take a drink and experience the refreshment in the life-giving power of water. It could not.
No.
Impossible. Unless it had a helpmate. So this etheric energy, this spirit, had to create the environment. You heard me say, if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first create the universe. Do you really want to take it all the way back, all the way back, all the way back, all the way back? You have to create a material world in order to form a world, in order to form a tree and a seed to be planted, in order to form a tree that grows, you have to have the right environment, the right measure of sun, the right measure of water, the right measure of soil in order to produce a fruit. That is what's gone into creating you and the earth. But it came from a desire of all that is to experience himself in material worlds. In material worlds, we know little about the ethereal worlds because we are material beings. We can be told about it, and our intuitive part of us can tell us a little bit about it, but this has been a grand experiment in all that is to come and put himself inside of a physical container, and that physical container is you. The archetype of this is Mary. You heard me talk about Mary. Virgin, because never before had spirit penetrated biology. And the picture in nature, again, is the egg and the sperm. Never before had spirit found a way to put himself inside of biology. So now here spirit is in this corporate Mary, which is you. This Christ is wrapped in the swaddling clothing of your mortality and your humanity, having a lifetime worth of experiences and growing within the garden. It's such a beautiful picture. Such a beautiful picture. And so here is the saying, you know, that Christ is formed in you. Paul says, I travail in labor and birth until Christ is formed in you. Not out there somewhere. In you. And so if we experience that shift in reading our scripture, we understand the pictures and the metaphors in the book of Revelation and other places, Jesus riding in on the donkey. You know, the donkey is stubborn. You know, it's cantankerous. And yet this is what the Christ rode in on initially. But when he appears in us, now he's on what in the book of Revelation?
A white horse.
A white horse. This powerful steed, that's our ego, as a willing servant. It's just such a beautiful picture. Such a beautiful picture. So, let's talk about what you want to talk about now. Huh? Oh, prayer. Many people say now, you know, it's that if going back to today and tomorrow I do cures, but on the third day I'm perfected. And when I say that when you set your heart to build that vibrational bridge and that link between the ages, everything changes. Your mode of operation is not the same. And so I'll tell you my story with prayer, because I used to pray for a lot of people. And I would have a fairly active prayer life. I wasn't like one of these people who set aside hours a day on my knees. I never did that. But I did have a healthy prayer life. And I prayed in tongues a lot. And this is what I noticed. I noticed that I couldn't listen to praise and worship music like I used to, because it pulled me in consciousness to a different mode of being. So I had to stop. I just had to stop. I couldn't read the Bible anymore because I only saw it through the lens of my religion. And so I just had to have this perspective break, where I didn't talk about, I didn't go to church, I didn't hang out with those friends necessarily anymore. I stopped doing deliverance ministry. I just stopped because I needed, well, I told you, I wasn't satisfied. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't pray for one more person. And so I began to depart from those traditional modes of being. And I rarely found myself praying in tongues. I'm just rarely. But then, you know, I look at if we're going to look at the ages, we know that the gifts of the Spirit were given to equip the saints, right? You know, the tongues, the interpretation, the prophecy, the words of knowledge, the gifts of healing, you know, all of those things were given to equip the saints. And what would we do? We'd go to the prophet, prophesy over me, lay hands on me, tell me about me. We always looked externally for help because the ego was still viewing things as external from itself. And so the faithfulness of all that is gave us what we asked for and what we needed, didn't it? But, you know, Paul says there'll come a time when no man will teach you. And as for tongues, they will cease. As for prophecies, they will pass away. But it says these things remain. Love.
Peace.
Hope.
Joy.
And faith. These things remain. They will always be with us. If those are the highest vibrational things, they will remain. So people ask me about my prayer life now. And you know, I think that I am prayer. I think that as I go through my life, it's a natural, it's not a time where I feel like I have to bow my head and hold my hands. It's really a mode of being. There is a bridge that is gapped, there's a gap that is bridged in consciousness where I no longer feel I have to set aside time to pray to God because God has come in fully to his temple. And so my thoughts, when I think about something, it's almost like I'm saying, well, boy, hello, God, you know, Jesus, Christ, whatever you want to call it, when he says he's closer than a brother, now it's internal. So your very thoughts, you know, it says take your thoughts captive. It's bringing that egoist part of us that's so human. You know, that's Barbara and Lyle and Linda and, you know, Ray. It's bringing that part into a place of servanthood. And so now the Christ is growing up in his temple. And that's God, and there's all of these gifts and energies that are within us, and it's just a completely different way of being. That's why when I say, if you're called to bridge the gap between the ages, and Jesus talked about the age to come, did he not? And he encouraged us to leave aside behind the elementary principles, or call them first principles, or the foundational principles, the foundational teachings. They lay the foundation in our consciousness, but who wants to live in a building that's just a square? You know, we need to build the structure, the habitation of the Most High, and it's multidimensional, it's not flat. So these first principles had truth, but they were flat. The doctrines of baptism were true, but they were flat. They didn't reflect the holistic view of what baptism is. That's that divine that came down and took the form and then was immersed in human consciousness and darkness, holding its divine breath, its memory of who it was, until it comes up and out of those waters of baptism. So we practice the ritual, but the ritual is supposed to lead us to the holistic view, the building that's being built for the habitation. So leaving behind those elementary principles, let us go on to perfection. And it also talks about, for it is impossible to renew one to repentance once they taste of the powers of the age to come. Jesus was the one that coined the phrase new age. and it's different, and we're taught against it, and we're taught to be fearful of it because it doesn't look typical. And we're warned against it, and there was a time where we shouldn't partake of those things. You heard me talk about the fully formed fruit on a little sapling where it'll break it in half. But there comes a time in maturity in our growth process where we need to put aside childish things. So the consciousness has come to a place where it's now adult and it's beginning to taste of the powers of the age to come. And one of the powers of the age to come, when I talked about that yesterday, that's what you experienced, is the power of the age to come. You will be developing abilities. You'll have tones in your ear. You'll have strange physical things happening in your body. Try as best as you can to stay at peace.
knowing that you are naturally supernatural, and that there have been many beings that have come and taken on that vibrational discord for humanity, and have suffered within their own body the vibrational discord, so that it will make it a little bit more palatable for us. As the energy of the third dimensional level rises, the more palatable the age to come will be to us. That gap and that expansion is what we pray. You know, our Father who art in heaven, in the higher levels of our consciousness, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a compression of the heavens taking place within our own consciousness. A compression in our consciousness that will bring the age to come upon us. And that's heaven. And it's a completely different mode of operation. Now, I read this book. Is my folder in the car? That white folder in the...
Oh, I guess.
Would you please?
Aww.
It's that three-ring binder. I'll wrap up with this, and then we'll talk as much as you want.
You're so sweet.
I read this most unusual book. You want to take a quick break before I tell you about the...
If you want. It's up to you.
Okay, I read this weird book. And the reason that I picked it up, and you'll do this and you'll benefit from this. If you want to taste of what the spirit, this otherworldly dimension is speaking to any area, when you travel, go to a bookstore and go to their metaphysical section. That metaphysical section will reflect the consciousness of the region that you're in. Because they order according to what is in demand. Right? So when someone buys a book or orders a book, they order one or two more and it's on the shelf. Because they know that if this person is reading that and she tells her, you know, what's good, then that person is going to go buy. So anyway, we were in Las Vegas. And one of my most favorite things to do is to go to other bookstores to see, to grasp, you know, what it is that I'm feeling in the area, because sometimes you can feel and discern so much about what's going on in the heavens of man in that territory. So I go to this place and I find this book, and it says, 2013, The Day God Sees God. That's what the title of the book is, and I was drawn to it. It was orange and gold and yellow, and so I picked it up, and as I'm reading, this man is receiving communication from another planet in our solar system. And it's from Pluto, in which I don't discount anything anymore. When I'm reading, what I do is say, if I draw a boundary, then I don't receive. And I've read a lot of strange books. But I want to be able to be mature enough to digest what it is that I'm supposed to digest, and the rest is wasteful.
Yes.
So I'm reading this book, and this man is talking about how he receives communication from Pluto. Now, he's a Japanese man, and he's a physicist. Incredibly intellectual, bright. And so he's describing an experience one night where he's on the couch in his apartment, and he's falling asleep. He's worked on this computer program and on this physics project for a long time with his brother, and all of a sudden, he hears a tone in his ear, in his hearing. And he wakes up, and he hears some static, and then he hears someone call his name. And I forget his name, Hiroshi or something. Hiroshi, can you hear us?